Good morning! This is Chris Mao, owner of the Blue Box Cafe, located in historic downtown Elgin, Illinois. We are America's premier Doctor Who cafe, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. Come to the BBC for the coffee, stay for the community. I'll see you in the future.
Too Much Scrolling for September 29th, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we are live at the Blue Box Cafe in downtown Elgin, Illinois, as a part of the Southgate Media Group 4th Annual Podcast Marathon, Chip. How about that?
That's exciting. It's a beautiful day out. I don't know what happened. Fall came and it got crisp air.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful day. It got a little cold last night, but it's a beautiful day today. Come on down to the Blue Box Cafe on Chicago Street in Elgin. They're here for 13 hours of podcasting today.
13 hours, and they're all types of shows.
There's certainly something for everyone today at the Blue Box Cafe. The Blue Box Cafe has a name, right? It's the Blue Box. What? It's the Blue Box Cafe. It is a Doctor Who themed restaurant. That might come up later in the show.
Or for the rest of America, it's just a coffee shop that's really nice with good people.
With these nerds in it that have scarves and hats. I walked in with my scarf and my hat and everyone went, oh, look, Indiana Jones in the winter. No! That is not what the hat and the scarf are. Stop it.
Down. Get my Film at 11.
Brings us to our Film at 11, our movie of the week. I have been watching some streaming media this week. I started and finished the first season of Ozark on Netflix.
Ozark? I'm not familiar with this. Tell me a little bit about it.
This is a Netflix original that I was told is fantastic. This is some of the best television on television right now, and it's not on television, it's on Netflix.
Well, we found streaming is just an incredibly powerful way to watch good drama, good comedy, whatever you are looking for.
As we found out at the Oscars and the Emmys, Netflix is doing the best work out there. They're on the same level with HBO at this point. Ozark could have been an HBO show. It is as good as The Sopranos.
All right, so give me the premise of Ozark.
Okay, the idea of Ozark is a financial advisor from Chicago.
What?
Uh-huh. He gets tied up with the Mexican drug cartel and has to flee his home and goes down to Missouri to the Ozarks for really important life-threatening reasons.
All right. So how many seasons does this show have so far?
The second season dropped in August.
Okay.
So there are two seasons of Ozark, 10 episodes each, so 20 hours of footage. I watched half the first season in the last, 5 days.
Okay. So you're halfway through the first season, and you have the second season afterwards. So tell me, so far, so what's the build-up and how's it going?
The build-up on this, I compare it to The Sopranos. I know you never watched The Sopranos, but Sopranos was some of the best television on television at the time. This has that same danger to the characters feel. You are in this action with these characters. You feel like their lives are in danger every episode, and you can feel what they are expressing here. The acting is fantastic. This is Jason Bateman, believe it or not.
Is it really?
Jason Bateman.
That guy from Game Night.
That Game Night character is very Jason Bateman-y. We like Jason Bateman when we watch him squirm, when we put him into a situation and he's squirming. This is not the character in Ozark.
Really?
In this, Jason Bateman is not squirming. He is a very powerful character who knows what he wants, knows how he has to get there, and succeeds in his mission more than he fails.
Wow. He's normally that Ben Stiller type of character.
Yes.
And this one, he's not. He's much more of a powerful.
Very powerful.
He plays, I can't remember the movie, where Kevin Spacey was his boss. And we watched Jason Bateman squirm a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one where he basically plays the Kevin Spacey player.
He is on the acting level with a Kevin Spacey in this. His acting
wonderful.
is superb. Laura Linney plays his wife. She is a very powerful character in this. And Julia Garner is a spectacular 19-year-old who is somebody that you don't want to cross in this story.
All right, so I'm going to bring this. The beautiful part about streaming is that you can miss something like Ozark
for a year.
And then come back and revisit it and discover it because somebody got to see it.
Because somebody told me how wonderful it was.
All right, so we'll have to think about that when we get to what I'm watching.
That's
so
right.
Tell me, anything else you've been watching, Steve?
Well, there's this thing called Doctor Who.
I don't even know what
I know,
that is.
I know. You've been to a cafe that is based on Doctor Who, and you've noticed that maybe there's some signage and some wonderful pictures of some of the stars of Doctor Who standing with Chris Mau and Kathleen and smiling happily.
There's some kind of break up in the wall here,
yeah,
Steve. Energy's coming out.
There's a crack in the wall.
Energy's coming out of it.
Very frightening. This show has been on for 55 years. It has existed longer than I have, and I love Doctor Who. I don't know that anybody that I've ever met doesn't know that about me, but I've been watching the new Who that started in 2005.
The new Who.
That's right, because the original started in 1963 and was then rebooted in 2005. And in 2005, we started watching the show again, and I've watched the entire first and second season from 2005 and 2006 this week, because BBC America is running a marathon right now. You can tune into BBC America and watch those new Who episodes coming up to next Sunday, October 7th, when the new season will come out.
All right, so one of the tropes of Doctor Who is that every few seasons a new actor comes in and plays Doctor Who.
That's right.
So in 2005, who was Doctor Who?
That was Christopher Eccleston, who started out the new Who and was probably the right guy to do that. I think he really was the powerful actor that Doctor Who needed to get out of its silly 60s version idea of what Doctor Who is and make it into a powerful 21st century show.
So a much more mature Doctor Who,
yes.
Our take on it,
yes.
Than it was originally. It was much more...
It was the 1960s. Everything was a little more campy in the 1960s.
Okay.
Batman 66 is certainly different from what we see from Batman today.
Oh, come on, Steve. Adam West was the man.
Well, there's certainly been different iterations of Batman.
Sure.
And there's certainly different iterations of Doctor Who. We get our new Doctor, Jodie Whittaker, on Sunday. So I look forward to that. That's an exciting moment in the history of this wonderful show.
She's still falling, right, Steve?
She's been falling for 9 months, and she's going to hopefully reach Earth on Sunday in the episode called The Woman Who Fell to Earth.
That's excellent.
That's a good title, isn't it? It's a good title.
She fell out of her TARDIS, or for the rest of us, a spaceship.
Right, her spacecraft. Just go with it. Just watch it. You have been watching Game of Thrones, talking about HBO really producing wonderful television. HBO's been a leader in this space for decades.
In fact, HBO was Netflix before Netflix, in many ways. HBO really adopted the streaming model, and they have a tremendous amount of shows that come on it. I did not watch Game of Thrones when it came out. I know that the final season is coming out maybe next spring.
Right.
So I'm sitting down and I said, well, you know, maybe I should watch this.
Maybe I should get in on this society that is watching this.
So let me go ahead and say, Steve, winter is coming.
Yes.
It is coming. And this is a wonderful film. I know why, you know, this came out in 2011.
Right.
So Lord of the Rings, I guess the final one had been released. There was a real need, or a lot of people enjoy this fantasy, but it's not really fantasy. I mean, yes, there's some supernatural characters that are introduced in the first scene of this show. They're really not. They're just they're thought of as like, well, they existed at one time, but they don't really exist.
Okay.
They're not really addressed other than this kind of mythical way. Along with dragons, which are through the entire first season, they're talked about as, you know, a long, long, long time ago. But really, it all sets up with the death of a king. And I shouldn't say the death of a king, but really the king asking one of his subjects, a leader from another group, to come down and basically help him lead. And you know what? Good intentions.
Yeah.
Can cause a lot of deaths, Steve.
So are you enjoying the first season of Game of Thrones from 2011 so far.
Steve, I'm in the second season right now.
You've gotten all the way through season one, and you've started season two.
That's right. I'm about halfway through season two. I will say that this is fantastic.
Okay.
Even if you are not a person who enjoys this period of time,
okay,
that we're looking at this mythical sort of time, even if you're a person who does not enjoy fantasy at all. But what I can say is this is a study of power.
Mm-hmm.
This is a study of what they do so well. The reason they do this so well is because this is based on a book.
Yes. George R. R. Martin wrote tomes, giant, huge stories, these epic tales of these adventurers.
In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I think the new Battlestar Galactica, the reimagining it, that came out, I don't know, 15 years ago or so.
It's amazing how often we come back to Battlestar Galactica in these conversations. That really set the bar really high for what television could be.
But the difference between, say, Battlestar Galactica and Game of Thrones is they were kind of, when I say wingy, that's not really fair. They had sort of a outline, but it was a loose outline. And you can tell that there are strong episodes and there are not strong episodes. There's filler episodes and there's not filler episodes. This changed with shows like Game of Thrones. Having source material means that you always have something relevant to bring to the next show.
That's exactly
what we're seeing. We're seeing, this is the difference between Harry Potter and Star Wars, where you have source material to draw from, so you can always push the story forward, and versus kind of winging it. And you've seen what the damage it can do to a brand with the new Star Wars, where we basically had everything that could be resolved happen in the mid part of a trilogy.
Right.
I mean, come on.
We don't know what's going to happen. They might not know what's going to happen until they've come up with a great idea. Source material is a wonderful way to do that. Even back to The Sopranos again, that HBO series was not from source material. So there was some filler episodes in there.
Sure.
Some not pushing the story forward episodes.
Let me leave this part. This is not for children. This is more of a mature, an adult. There are a lot of adult situations in it, Steve.
Yes.
I mean, it is called HBO for a reason. And then there is also some violence. I mean, obviously, when you're fighting, there is blood and gore. It's not quite on the level of True Blood, but let's just say that there are a lot of love songs that could be played during this.
Game of Thrones has won so many awards. It's a great show. It's one of those shows that I have not gotten into. I'm glad that you have explored at least season one, getting into season two. There's some great movies coming out this week. We've got some possibilities for some movies that we'll see as the weather starts to turn. The first one is Venom.
Well, it's being released in October, Steve. That should tell us something.
It certainly does tell us something.
So Sony, once again, has taken a character that may or may not have a lot of national appeal.
Right.
Certainly is not as known as Spider-Man. But I guess if you were a kid growing up in the 90s, this was definitely something that would be of interest to you.
Venom was right on the edge of my comic book fandom as a kid.
Okay.
Venom was there. I remember Venom, but I wasn't a huge fan of that property.
Well, it's sort of derivative. And a lot of it was based on the artists that were drawing him at the time, because they took this alien symbiote, and I think they've even changed his backstory now. So I can tell you that when Spider-Man, who has the best bad guys, Sony has really struggled with them. Marvel came in and helped. Obviously, they made the when I say Marvel, you have to know a whole bunch of backstory. You don't need to know it. Let's just say that this is a Sony film.
That's right.
Let's see how well Sony does.
And it might do very well. But the fact that they're releasing it in October certainly says something about what they believe about this film. This is not a summer blockbuster. This is not an end-of-the-year Oscar-worthy film. This is somewhere in the middle, and it's a middling, mushy middle. We'll see. There is a movie called A Star is Born. Have you heard of a movie called A Star is Born, Chip?
This is star Chris Christopherson and Baba.
This is the remake of that 1976 classic A Star is Born, which was a remake of the 1954 classic A Star is Born, which was a remake of the 1937 classic A Star is Born.
This sounds like a new production, Steve.
Why didn't they make one in 1997? We get one every 20 years and they skip the 90s. We were busy reading Venom. That's why. Venom was certainly more important to us than A Star Is Born. This is the story of a musician helping a young singer find her voice, find her stage, find herself. And I look forward to this one.
Now, Bradley Cooper is obviously a very hot actor going on right now. Mm-hmm. And Lady Gaga, over the last few years, you know, we went from this pop princess. She's really redefined herself as a person who's can do multiple things.
When you think of Barbara Streisand, you think of her pop songs, you think of her other songs, you think of her acting career. Lady Gaga is very similar in what she's been able to do with her career.
Well, Baba's like butter, Steve. And what is Lady Gaga? She's like a meat dress.
She is like a meat dress. Bradley Cooper wrote this, directed it, and he is starring in it. Lady Gaga is the female lead. She is the Barbara Streisand of the 21st century in a lot of ways.
Steve, I've got a lot of quotes I'd like to give, and they're very witty. Do you have a movie for us?
It's time for the Sony Pictures Classic of the Week, which is a new segment. It's called The Happy Prince. This is the tragic tale of the end of Oscar Wilde's life.
Well, this is, I think, the story of Oscar Wilde. Mm-hmm. Oscar Wilde, if you're not familiar, he is probably the most quoted person or quotable person you could ever imagine.
I'm one of them, definitely.
And he lived at a time where he was a homosexual. Mm-hmm. Outing that certainly could be very damning to your life. And that, you know, if we think even back 20 years ago, how we viewed individuals who had I wouldn't say unusual, but different view on life. Mm-hmm. Oscar Wilde certainly was a person back in the 1800s.
Right.
Who, you know, very eccentric.
Yes, he was.
Lived that. I mean, he wrote for children, and he wrote for adults. Mm-hmm. And like I said, any person who is quoting something witty probably is using an Oscar Wilde quote somewhere. This is about his life. This is about, ultimately, him being outed. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you were thrown in prison.
That's right. He was imprisoned for his choices, his lifestyle, his personality. This is something that we look at today and go, how could that have happened? That's not normal.
Now, I saw this story. It was a Sony Classics, too,
of
Steve.
Of course it was.
Stephen Fry played Wilde in a movie called, what, Wilde?
It was called Wilde. It was 1997, a little over 20 years ago.
So the same story, it's just in a different era.
Different perspective, the 1990s perspective with Venom. It was a slightly different movie. This one looks like a very strong statement about who we are and how we treat people.
So we had this person who went in, this very strong, witty, just a man who commanded his time. Mm-hmm. And by the time he came out of the prison for this, he really was a shell of his person.
He was a broken human.
And this is very similar to, was it Turing?
Yes, Alan Turing went through a very similar process. There was more to Alan Turing's change.
Sort of the fall. He was the gentleman who basically created the computer as we know it.
Very much.
So how sad that these people lived in the times that they did.
But how great is it that we can celebrate who these people were and look at what we as a society did and say, we're not doing that anymore. This was a wrong choice.
Well, in the 1970s, this would still be considered an alternative lifestyle. Steve, is there a movie that's a documentary of this?
Yes. There's a documentary of Studio 54 coming out this week. Studio 54 was the adult theme park of the 70s.
Steve, it was disco mecca at that point. Fashion mecca. Anybody you could think of was probably there.
They wanted to be seen there, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. So it is, you know, obviously a very flamboyant time in New York City. And this is a documentary about that unique time. If you are anybody from Mick Jagger to Truman Capote, you were showing up at Studio 54.
You wanted to be seen at Studio 54.
Drugs and glitter, Steve. That's how we'd probably describe it.
1970s. Drugs and glitter is the subtitle of that show. Yes.
And sexuality.
Yes.
So there you go.
This was a revolutionary place. This was changing the world. We live in a world because of Studio 54. They change the way we do things, including looking at the drug culture and going, that might not be a good idea.
It wasn't, but it certainly had its time. Steve, are there any foreign films where people are speaking and you've got to read their subtitles?
Yes! The subtitle film of the week, which is another segment we're starting, is called Heavy Trip. This is a Finnish film. It's from Finland.
They didn't name that country until they were done, Steve.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Nobody laughed at that. Chris is embarrassed. Chris is embarrassed for that joke. Finland is the country for me. It's so near to Russia, so far from Japan. Quite a long way from Cairo, lots of miles from Vietnam.
Well, just like the Blue Box Cafe, many people are trying to find their tribe. This is a heavy metal band.
Heavy metal band in Finland, finding their way, finding their success, finding their tribe, and finding themselves while they do it.
And the story is one we've never heard before, Steve. It's about a band trying to get their way to some kind of concert so they can perform too.
Yeah, this sounds wonderful to me. The trailer is fantastic. Go look at this trailer. This reminds me a lot of, this is Spinal Tap, but it's not that documentary style. This is a comedy with a lot of slapstick in it.
Oh,
yes. I look forward to Heavy Trip as my pick of the week until...
So go ahead.
Until Sunday, October 7th, when my pick of the week is Don't Call Me on Sunday, October 7th. I'm going to be watching the new episode, Season 11 of Doctor Who, the premiere of Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor.
Now, she is the best person falling I've ever seen, Steve.
Now, she's done it for the last 9 months.
She's probably going to land at some point.
Very slow fall. This is so exciting. I'm incredibly excited to see this. I'm probably going to come right back here to the Blue Box Cafe because we are going to have a watch party for this episode on Sunday. It premieres at 12:45 in the afternoon because it is going on globally. Everywhere around the world is going to show it all at the same time. That comes out to 12:45 p.m. on Sunday.
And for those of you who are not here live, let me describe it. There's about 100 people out here.
Yes.
And there's tears rolling down their eyes. I think they're tears of joy, Steve.
They are so happy. We are all so happy to finally have Doctor Who back in our lives. That's the one thing about the BBC is they produce things and leave us these gaps. And maybe, just maybe, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Maybe this is good marketing.
So if you're not in the area, in the Chicago area, to go to the Blue Box Cafe, but you were somewhere in the United States and you had access to the Fathom events, is there a way you could join in and find your tribe?
Our friends at Fathom Events will once again be showing this episode in theaters. This is going to happen next week, both on Wednesday and Thursday, October 10th and 11th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Go to your local theater, watch this together with all of us in the tribe. All the Whovians are going to be there. Go to fathomevents.com for more details.
Nerd.
That's
nerd.
Right. That's it. That's what this whole place is all about. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week, and I'm so happy to be able to present to you the latest biography of Fred Rogers. This is called The Good Neighbor, The Life and Work of Fred Rogers. It just came out in September, and I love everything about Fred Rogers, and I love this biography by Maxwell King.
Well, it's such a good feeling to know you're alive, Steve.
No kidding.
It's a happy feeling.
And
you're growing inside.
The messages that we got from Fred Rogers 30 years ago that have influenced my life and therefore have influenced the lives of all the students that I talk to, this man made the society that we have today in so many ways.
All right, so Google just released a video about the life of Fred Rogers.
Yes.
And I'm going to be critical of it for just before we get to talking about this movie. What they made Fred Rogers look on this short, and we'll put this short in our notes, is they made him seem sort of like a Willy Wonka magician type of man.
Okay.
This is not Fred Rogers.
Right.
Fred Rogers was incredibly slow, deliberate, and just, he wasn't Willy Wonka.
That's right.
And he was just an incredibly genuine person. If you ever felt that you were not genuine enough, spend some time watching Fred Rogers and drinking him in, and you will learn what it's like to be a genuine human being when reflecting and working against others.
And caring. Genuine caring. He was methodical in the way that he shared his thoughts with his young viewers. He was making sure every word was the right word, because every word was important to those preschoolers who were watching him. His neighborhood was a part of our, was part of my growing up, mm-hmm. is a part of our society, and he was so careful. There's stories in this book about he would stop production because he thought that a line was wrong. He would literally leave the studio, leave all of the crew stewing, just getting paid for nothing, and leave the studio, go to the University of Pennsylvania, where he would have a conversation with his professor who would get through these words and make sure every word that they were saying was the right word for the audience.
Okay, so Penn, though, is in Philadelphia. He was recording in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. What did I say?
You said Penn. So that's okay.
Pittsburgh.
You went to University of Pittsburgh.
It starts with a P.
That's right. All right, so what we should really get down to is this saint who was a Presbyterian.
The Presbyterian saint, yes, sir.
There we go. So tell me, why did Maxwell King feel it was important to write another book about Mr. Rogers?
I think that it's the times that we live in right now, I think we have a lot of issues in society with communication with each other. I think we have a lot of issues with self-discipline right now. And I think that Maxwell King really wanted to hold up this beacon of genuineness, goodness, and caring in this time when we might not care about anyone.
I think you just grabbed the zeitgeist of now. And in fact, our podcast, when we originally started, one of the things that we did not want to be is controversial.
That's right.
We wanted a place that people could go and sort of not escape reality. We're still addressing the issues of the day, but it wasn't a forum where it was like these guys are good and these guys are bad.
We don't want to be divisive.
But what I can say is that the zeitgeist of today. I just listened to Russ Roberts. He's the host of Econ Talk, and he basically always has guests. But he had a show less than a month ago where he was talking about just this topic. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, we've got to find a better way of talking. That in order to be a good person in society, we cannot sit there and tear each other apart. Yeah. Every person is not Hitler who doesn't agree with you.
Right.
There are thinking people who are not you that may have different views on the world. And that's okay. And so we've got to figure out a way of working together. And that's okay that we come, and even when they come to different conclusions that you are, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that the end of the world is coming.
The word that I've been using for months, if not years now, is the word empathy. We need to find a way to genuinely care about the feelings of other people. Maybe not to honor every thought that they have, but to genuinely empathize with everybody's situation. To look at a situation from somebody else's perspective is something that Fred Rogers was really good at.
And in fact, that is, I think, the ultimate lesson that Fred Rogers could give to everyone, is how to be a good listener,
mm-hmm.
and also how to be thoughtful in responses. Because even if you're dealing with something that's incredibly divisive, finding a way to connect to that person in a way, I mean, he sold PBS when PBS was on the chopping block.
That's right.
In fact, the senator's response was, what was it? He goes, you just bought yourself $30 million or yeah. whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
He saved the network.
He saved the network with his genuine, real dialogue. He was not being a politician. He was not saying something that was in any way negative. He was genuine. He was real. The other thing that I got out of this book
sure.
is self-discipline. Self-discipline is my new buzzword
now,
after reading this.
He was incredibly disciplined.
Yes, he was.
He was a swimmer. He swam every morning.
Every morning.
In fact, his weight, I can't remember, was it
143, the magic number for Mr. Rogers. 143 is the number of letters in I love you. And his weight was 143 pounds every day of his life in adulthood.
And he felt it was a message to him.
Yes.
Now, for a person who doesn't look very superstitious, he felt that was a message to him, too.
Uh-huh. The numerology is something that I look into and I wonder about. But what if that number meant something so much that it changed who he was? Whether it was coming from somewhere else or not, it changed who he was. And that self-discipline to be the person who chooses to do the right thing every time, on time, and to genuinely care about everybody while doing it. That's an amazing lesson.
So kindness was probably one of the pillars that, Mr. Rogers had.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about this book and if there was something that really addressed kindness.
Kindness is a factor in everything that I do. I am trying in my job, in my life, to be kind. Sometimes that kindness has to be discipline. I have to show my students, for instance, what the right thing to do is and to discipline them when they make the wrong choices. I consider that kindness. I think it's very important, the lessons that you can learn from making a mistake and correcting that mistake. That is a great way to show that you care about somebody. I try to do that every day. Self-discipline is something that I can't teach. I don't know how to teach somebody self-discipline. If I'm disciplining somebody, that is the opposite of self-discipline.
Correct, correct.
So it's a very thin line between I want you to succeed and I want you to be motivated to succeed.
And in fact, there's your big part, is how to work with a person. You know, you're dealing with students who have multiple interests, mm-hmm. and especially when you're working with young people who, the sad part of our school system is there's no off time.
That's right.
Every class they go to, they're expected to not be just performing, but performing on this massive level. And while certainly a surgeon has to perform at that massive level while in surgery, you know, they have a time to sit down and reflect
right.
and think about what they were doing afterwards. You know, a student basically goes from high performance to high performance to high performance. That really is unrealistic in every moment of our lives. So tell us another part about this. Many people can read a physical book, mm-hmm. or they'll read the Kindle. But you chose to listen to this because, you know, time sometimes is at a premium,
uh-huh.
and driving time is dead time.
Yes.
So tell me, who read this to you?
Oh, the audiobook here is read by LeVar Burton. So if you want to add up some of the nicest, best, most wonderful teachers on the planet, Mr. Rogers goes on that list. LeVar Burton is certainly on that list. And his voice sharing this
is like
story
butter, Steve.
Is a wonderful way to get to the heart of Mr. Rogers and the Neighborhood.
Now, he was the narrator of The History of Jazz on PBS a number of years ago. And obviously, many of us remember him as Mr. Reading Rainbow himself.
Yes, he hosted that children's television show, Reading Rainbow.
And some people know him for something else, Steve. Was there like a some kind of celebration this week, Steve? The Star Trek celebration?
Oh, Star Trek. Yes, of course. I thought you were talking about Roots. I was like, oh, was there a Roots celebration that I missed? No, yes. Star Trek The Next Generation celebrated its 31st year. It's been on the air. Well, it's not on the air anymore, but it started 31 years ago this week. So we got to celebrate our Star Trek this week along with our Doctor Who.
And you're right. And he also starred in Alex Haley's Roots.
That's right.
The television show.
That's right.
That was the mega event. Basically, an HBO before HBO type thing.
That's right. So I really suggest that you find time to read. And if you are interested in reading something that will make you a better person, I really highly suggest The Good Neighbor, The Life and Work of Fred Rogers by Maxwell King. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Great information out there. You have found a really interesting piece on the future of podcasting. It was in Delta Sky magazine.
We actually had a listener send this to us, Steve.
Oh.
So they sent it to us. The name of the article is The Future of Podcasting, and it is by Adira Moskowitz, Grubdahl. So I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Close enough.
And it is about the industry that is podcasting.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say is she certainly has a lot of positive exploration of revenue.
Uh-huh.
Revenue seems to be missing on many of the smaller podcasts.
Well, again, we can talk about the film production at a very low amateur level all the way up to the Marvel Disney level.
Sure.
And we can talk about Broadway shows being mega hits that are making a ton of money, and then all the local theaters at the bottom of that chart not making a lot of money, doing it for the love of the art.
So what we're finding is that the entertainment industry is betting big time that podcasting is going to be a revenue source for them, and it talks a lot about the business of podcasting.
Yeah, one of the things that she quotes is Wired Magazine reported in 2017 podcast ad revenues reached $220 million. That's a huge number.
Now, that is a huge number, but it pales in comparison, especially when we were at Northern Illinois University over their STEM outreach, where they did a presentation on gaming, esports.
Esports is certainly making a ton of money. There's a lot of audience out there for that.
Well, in fact, it's pales in comparison. I mean, the amount of money esports is pulling in basically surpasses many even what we consider professional sports.
That's right.
So podcasting is a relatively small. $220 million is a lot of money, but it's certainly on the grand scheme of things fairly nominal. Marginal, compared to many other of the industries. But one of the things that we talk about is this is entertainment on demand.
That's right. That's one of the things that is my favorite part of podcasting is people ask me, when is our show? And I say, well, we put it on the internet on Tuesday, but you can listen to this absolutely anytime. You can go back through our archives and listen to a show from 5 years ago that might have a piece of information that you need for that moment.
So if you're out walking the dog, yeah. Well, you've got 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's a good time to pick up a podcast. You know, last night I'm making dinner.
Uh-huh. Doing the dishes.
Yeah. This is stuff that doesn't require deep thought, typically. I'm sorry. Sometimes it does.
Sometimes.
But my point being is this allows you to concentrate and get through more material, things that you have interest in.
That's right.
So if you have a subject, you know, obviously that's the magic part of podcasting. Is you can get down to something very, very specific that you have interest in.
There's a show out there for whatever it is that you're interested
in. So I'm watching Game of Thrones. There are podcasts, especially on Southgate Media Group.
Southgate Media Group has so many different shows.
That basically will address probably the seasons of Game of Thrones.
You can find it.
But if you like working on cars or you like history or you like mathematics or whatever your magic thing is,
there's a podcast out there for you.
Oh, I'm sure.
Scrolling covers a lot of the great things, you know, Doctor Who and Star Trek. But we also talk about a lot of important information that people can really become better people as a result of studying some of these things. For instance, you mentioned that we went to the STEM Cafe at Northern Illinois University this week to talk esports. There is a STEM Fest that's coming up on Saturday, October 27th. This is a free event where they say thousands and thousands of people are going to come and explore the idea of STEM.
So DeKalb, Illinois, where NIU is located, is probably about 50 miles outside of Chicago proper.
Right.
So if you're in the Chicago area, it is something to go out to. It is a family event.
Uh-huh.
It is designed for families.
Uh-huh.
And they are going to talk about all the fun stuff
that
you
can STEM? Do. Do you know what STEM stands for?
It stands for what?
Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Some of those subjects that are the most interesting subjects in school for a lot of people. A lot of people go to the science and mathematics side of their brain. That's the left, by the way. And some of us are more on the creative right-hand side of the brain. STEM certainly bridges the gap between those because there's some very creative things that we're doing with science and technology that we can really enjoy at this event.
And this is a place where you can go and explore them in a family-friendly atmosphere.
And meet some people and be part of a community and find some empathy. These are such important things to get out, to go, to experience, and this is one of those events. The other event is Doctor Who. Make sure you get into the Blue Box Cafe on Sunday, October 7th in the afternoon to watch Doctor Who together. Or if you can't make it to that, Fathom Events is going to have it in your theaters on October 10th and 11th. We want to thank the Southgate Media Group for letting us be a part of their fourth annual podcast marathon. This has been so much fun. We got such a great audience. And thank you all for coming and being a part of this community that Southgate Media Group has put together.
Well, if you are in the area, please stop by. There's going to be stuff going on all day.
All day
13
long.
13 hours of
13
program.
13 hours! I can only talk so much. But Rob Southgate, he can talk for 13 hours. We know that. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. I think we got a lot to talk about next week. I want you to watch Doctor Who so we can talk about it next week. If you need more information, you can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflo.
We'll see you in the future. What I want to thank you for. What I want to talk about. What I want to thank you for. What I want to